Ever wonder why some project managers seem to effortlessly navigate chaos while others crumble under pressure? What's one mistake that's keeping you from making your projects actually derail? What if you could just master one project management skill overnight? Would that really actually helpfully transform your career the most? Well, check this. In the next 15 minutes, I will not only answer these questions, but I will also share battle-tested strategies that will revolutionize, or I should say, improve how you approach every project. Now, I will be honest with you, these are not textbook theories. These are real-world tactics I've used consistently to drive results, even when the odds were literally stacked against me. Do you mind if I share a story with you, family? You know, when I started off as a newbie project manager or a brand new project manager, there were some rules of project management that I wasn't aware of, nor did I understand at the time. And it took for me navigating different projects, whether it was leading one or multiple projects, that I truly had to understand there are rules to this thing called project management. Even though there are rules, these rules can sometimes be broken. So you have to put in place frameworks. You have to put in place expectations. You have to put in place a roadmap of how you're going to approach each project. Because again, you know, a project, if you don't know, a project is a temporary endeavor and is unique. So each project is going to have a unique stance. You're going to have a unique project team. You're going to have unique stakeholders. So you're going to have to switch up your approach for each item. So let's get into eight points, and then I'll send you on your way. Point number one, project health checks. One of the things I recommend is you regularly do assessment and help identify issues before they become critical. I always say, don't look at the surface layer. Get to the root of what is actually going on. Here's an actionable tip. Conduct a biweekly health check using a standardized scorecard, and you want to cover these areas: your budget, your schedule, your scope, risk or issues. And most of all, what helps you be successful is your team morale. Address these metrics so they don't fall below the predefined threshold. You need to work with your project team to identify what those thresholds are. Let's move on to point number two, project team one-on-ones. Individual meetings, as I always state again and again, and I don't see project managers doing this, builds relationships and uncovers concerns. These meetings do not have to be something that's always scheduled. They can be impromptu meetings. So I would recommend when a project team member reaches out and has any questions or concerns, or even a stakeholder, you turn that into an opportunity to ask questions. You turn that into an opportunity to uncover any concerns. Now, if you want it to be more formal, then schedule a monthly 30-minute call with each key project team member. And make sure, family, you don't come in there unprepared. Prepare an agenda covering some of these areas, the project updates, their specific concerns, as well as ask them for anything that they would like to discuss within that 30 minutes that you're having that call. Let's move on to point number three, clear task expectation. Well-defined tasks reduce what I call confusion and delusion. Ooh, I like that. See, a lot of times when there's confusion and what tends to happen as a project manager, you start doing what I dislike, which is micromanagement. When you start having to micromanage your project team, the project is not as fun as it was when you originally started. So one of the things I recommend is ensure for each assigned task, there's a clear date, expected outcome, deadlines, and if there's any constraints, make sure that you're able to work with your project team to address them. And let's all look at making sure that the team understand what's the roadmap to get there. If I'm saying, hey, we need to have this done in 2 weeks, I'm expecting them to come up how they're going to accomplish that. And they may not know at the time, but if they're unsure, make sure you're doing consistent check-ins to say, hey, are you having any challenges finding a way to accomplish that task? If they say no, you want to leave them alone and do what they do best, execute. Let's move on to point number four, time blocking. You know, project managers, I want to tell you, especially my newbies, because I know you guys get so, you get so excited about this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, is that you don't take time for yourself, even while you're on the clock. What do you mean, ED? Great question. What I mean by that is you want to dedicate time for specific activities that'll help improve your focus and productivity. Here's an actionable item. Use your calendar to block out specific times for different activities. For instance, like emails, meetings, or any focus work where you're working on your project management plan, as well as your project schedule. You know there is a difference, newbies, meaning that a project schedule is basically your task, your milestone. Your project management plan is the subsidiary plans that consist of, you know, your scope management plan, your requirements. So there's so many different plans boiled into one. This is why they call it a project management plan. This gives you an opportunity really to excel as a project manager, because you are really keeping the main thing the main thing. One of the books I always recommend that future project managers read is a book called One Thing by Gary Keller. I understand I fall victim to it as well, where I'm trying to do multiple things. But when I block my calendar and say, all right, I'm going to be focused on answering all these emails, I'm going to be focused on scheduling these meetings. Listen to what I'm talking about, family. These are more focused work initiatives. Let's move on to point number five. Point number five, meeting avoidance. Now, I know I'm probably going to ruffle some feathers here, but sometimes you have to do it when you want to be exceptional. What I mean by that is that your project team sometimes will pull you into meetings where you don't really need to be at that meeting, but they're pulling you into them because they're about to get ready to misuse you. Now, we all do get used, but being misused is a different thing. What do you mean? There's a difference between the two. Being used is making sure that your project team is having the appropriate success by supporting them effectively and efficiently. Being misused is that they're saying, oh, well, we don't feel like taking any notes. We don't feel like doing anything. We just want to talk. So even though this is not even anything to do with the project manager, we're just going to bring them in the meeting anyway, and they can take all the notes. They can handle all the accountability and responsibility, and we can push all of that accountability and responsibility on them. And it doesn't work that way. That is not true project management. When you have a task, if they are unable to, if they're running into any impediments or any things of that nature, meaning issues that they're going to connect with certain team members because they need help from a cross matrix standpoint, this is when you step in. But you have to allow your team, again, to do what they and execute. Don't be misused, family, because I know you're excited. This may be a project and you're like, oh, this is my first project. I want to be part of every meeting. It's just not going to work, because you're going to be getting pulled from other directions as it already is. And you're going to be responsible for updating all the necessary artifacts so you can hold people accountable for the thing that they said that they were going to execute on. So be careful on that particular piece. I got a little excited. I apologize. Point number six. Ethical decision framework. What I mean by that, family, is structure approach ethically address issues consistently and make value-based decision. How is this going to be valuable to the organization? How is this going to be valued across the cross matrix, as well as how is this going to be valued to the actual customer? What I recommend is creating a simple, and I do mean simple, decision tree for ethical issues. When you're facing a dilemma, use this framework to guide your decision-making process. Share and share with the team. Be very transparent. One of the things is, as a project manager, you want to ensure that you're always being transparent with your team. When you're not transparent with your team and something comes up, they're going to look at you and say, well, why you didn't say anything? So again, be very transparent with your team. Point number seven, project elevator pitch. You might have when I was putting this together, this reminded me of the project elevator pitch that I had to create. The reason why I created a project elevator pitch is when I would be on site, I would notice that certain things would actually happen as far as I would run into the CIO or run into the CEO or some executive, and they'll say, hey, Edward, how's the project coming along? And I'm like, oh, it's coming along great. And then at that point, they would start pointed questions. Because they could pull it up on their phone and say, oh, so I see that you plan to spend a million and you're actually at 500,000 and you're actually really doing extremely well. So what was the thing to reduce some of the cost there? And so you had to be prepared to answer these questions. So I always kept an elevated picture, meaning I always knew where the project was at all times. You have to do that, family, because when you do that, you can use your elevator pitch to address at a very high level what's going on, but always be prepared to go a deeper dive if executives or even your directors ask questions. Let's move on to point number 8, team workload balancing. Team workload balancing is you want to evenly distribute work because you don't want to have burnout on your team. And this helps improve the productivity as well that the team is working on. It frustrates me when you have someone that is exceptional. It's not their fault that they're exceptional, but everybody else needs to carry their own weight. Everybody needs to find ways to pitch in and help. And what tends to happen is when you have an exceptional resource, and me, I've been guilty of this as well. When I found an exceptional resource, I just only counted on them for a lot of things. And that is not healthy for them as a resource, because eventually I'm going to burn them out and they're going to stop showing up to meetings, or they're going to find some way to avoid you. And you don't want that to happen. So use a visual board of some sort of showing each team member's current task, and review your weekly meetings that you're having to identify and find ways to redistribute overload or underutilized resources. I have 2 bonuses for you, and then I'll end with my closing remarks. Stakeholder feedback sessions, as I talked about, which you have your project team members and your stakeholders. These are 2 separate entities. So with your stakeholders, you want to provide feedback sessions, regular feedback sessions, so you can gather ways to improve the project outcomes, not the results, because they don't care about the result. They care about the outcome. What's an example of outcome? A milestone, not the task. Don't talk about, oh, well, we got this task done. Okay, that's great. But the milestone was implement this particular piece on the application. Have you completed that? No. So again, you want to focus on outcomes. What I would recommend as an actionable tip, schedule quarterly feedback session with key stakeholders group and use a consistent set of questions to track satisfaction over time, as well as send out, you're probably going to need to send out 2 or 3 emails to ask questions to say, hey, what would you like to see discussed during this feedback session? This is going to be powerful for you. Let's move on to the next bonus, personal development plans. Listen, family, you have to work on yourself. You have to work on your craft. And by creating personal development plans for yourself, becoming a better version of yourself is going to be a better version to the project. So I would recommend my actionable items is find 1 or 2 things that you want to work on as a project management week over week. This is going to help improve how you are assisting and leading your team. Because again, you are the coach. You are the leader of that team. I know it says project manager, but you are the leader. So you need to work on your soft skills. What does that look like? Leadership training, communication training, stakeholder management training, sales. No one talks about that as a project manager, but we do here. So again, family, work on those aspects. Here are my 3 closing remarks. First one, project team one-on-ones. Like I said, you want to build relationships with your project team. So see if you can meet with them, whether it's informal or formal, just to uncover any particular concerns or questions that they may have. Point number 2, meeting avoidance. Like I talked about before, it's important that your team does not misuse you, that they use you effectively. And you may need to push back on certain meetings and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to join that. I have to work on the artifacts. If there's something that is so important that you need me there, then I need to understand, I need to see the agenda that you're driving towards, and I need to understand what value I can bring. Otherwise, I'll be waiting for our weekly meetings to see where you stand. And point number three, ethical decision framework. You want to structure your approach for ethical issues to ensure a more value-based decisions for the organization. Hey, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Address the question that's in the room about, hey, I'm a new project manager and I want to know some of the expectations that I have. I want to know, how can I ensure that I can to really deliver my exceptional best when it comes to project management? I go by the name of ED. And again, for all you smart and intelligent folks out there, it's just simple.